Vegas. I'm coming straight out. New York, big city of dreams. NYC. What's going on? This is Jay Ellis from Nick of Time Show. Here giving you that Knicks talk just in Nick of Time. And it's time to talk about a Knicks loss in overtime because the Knicks lose to the 76ers 106 to 112 in Game 5 back in MSG. Knicks were up. They were up with 6 points with about 27 seconds to go. And Tyrese Maxey hit two big shots. One 4-point play where we was fouled by Mitchell Robinson from the 3-point line, even though to me the foul was kind of, Mitch was standing straight up and down. So I don't think that was a foul, but then he hit a really tough shot by the logo for three, forcing the game into overtime. And then the 76ers made the plays in overtime and the Knicks fall 112 to 106. And we're going to talk about it all. I know Lee and Ebony are on their way, but me and Ryan G are going to talk about it. So let me introduce you to my guy, the man, the myth, the legend, guy with the stats and the facts.
Yeah, Ryan G in the building. Tough loss. Knicks should have ended it in regulation, but too many costly mistakes. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Too many costly mistakes.
Yeah, for real. I think it starts with the free throws. It starts with the free throws. We've been actually getting away with winning the game despite not shooting well from the free throw line. The game before, we shot 61% from the free throw line. Today, where did we shoot today? Today, we shot 66% from the free throw line, and we missed a couple of clutch ones. Josh Hart in particular, I don't know what's happening with him mentally, but he missed two free throws in a row the game before, did it again this game, while the game was on the line, and it seemed to leave the door ajar. When the game is on the line and you can put this team away, you have to make your free throws. You have to make your free throws. So as much as you can say, that wasn't a foul on Mitch because Maxey, jumped into him, at the end of the day, things that you can control, you have to control, and you can control free throws. And we have to hit our free throws. So to me, that was one of the huge things that really sunk us. Even Brunson. I think Brunson, 40-point game. I think he lost his legs towards the end. It was painfully obvious that he had no legs. Bojan Bogdanovic, as you might have heard by now, is out for the rest of the season with a foot injury. I think it's called, Jalen Brunson had to play a little bit more minutes than usual. And of course, the 76ers probably left their starters on longer than usual. But you can visibly tell that Brunson had no legs, especially because he's initiating the offense 100% of the time. He has the highest usage rate in the playoffs. So his 45 minutes is not the same 45 minutes that Maxey gets. It's a different type of load, and you can see it. And I think it affected his decision making, his shot making. But still, he has to make his free throws. Ryan G, what do you think about the game? Or if you want to add anything to what I just said?
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss. Free throw shooting is definitely the major thing, because if the Knicks knock in their free throws, they win this game.
Yep.
Even if Maxey hits that three, Knicks are still up. For example, if Josh hit those two free throws, the Knicks would be up by four. Max hits the three, Knicks up by one. So instead of having to go down the court to try to win the game, you can still hold the ball, try to take some time off the clock and go back to the line and just try to win at the line. I think the Knicks had too many uncharacteristic turnovers throughout the game, especially the one at the end of the game where Brunson threw the ball to Hardenstein, and Brunson usually doesn't make those type of errors at the end of, in the clutch moments, which I think, Jealous is right. I think it's comes down to, the guys just being tired at the end of the game. And I think going forward, I know Thibs has a 7-man rotation, but I think Thibs is going to have to probably consider at least adding one more man to the
Don't
rotation just
say it. Don't say his name, Ryan.
he might have to consider Alec Burks, putting him into the rotation. I think Precious has to play spot minutes as well, because I think in game four, when Precious was on the court, he did play viable minutes, and you still have that line that the Knicks can go to at times where, they can play OG, Precious, was it Hart, McBride, and Brunson, where that lineup did a number on the Sixers in game four. So you still have that in the back pocket as well. So I think, Precious has to pressure that you might have to play Precious some spot minutes in times when the Knicks may need, some defense, or maybe, a different give the Sixers a different look, or may have to play Burks as to put another shooter on the court, just to give guys a bit more rest so they could be more fresh at the end of the games. And here's a stat that really stands out to me, because the rebounding battle, because this is an area where the Knicks usually dominate teams, and they've dominated the Sixers on the boards. But today, the Sixers out rebounded the Knicks by six, and the Sixers also have more offensive rebounds than the Knicks as well. Sixers had 12 offensive rebounds, the Knicks had six offensive rebounds. And that's usually an area where the Knicks dominate and getting second chance points, but the Sixers kept the Knicks off the offensive glass. So a lot of those misses that the Knicks had, they weren't getting second chance opportunities. They were one and done. So, I mean, we can point to a lot of things as to why the Knicks lost this game, and maybe we could single out a player or two, but at the end of the day, it's a collection of mistakes throughout the game that cost the Knicks this game.
Yeah, and I think the 76ers had a good plan, man. I mean, we did it to ourselves. We lost this game to ourselves. We did it to ourselves. But the 76ers had a decent plan. I think their plan today was Joel Embiid is going to be he's going to be more so a decoy. He's going to be more so decoy, especially when it comes to the fourth quarter, because in the fourth quarter we've seen it for every series. He has no legs, so we're going to use him as a decoy. Maxey will be the 1A, and Joel Embiid will be the 1B, and we'll just save all our energy on Joel Embiid for the rebounds and the defense when it comes time for crunch time. I think that's pretty much what they did. Joel Embiid, who hasn't really been boarding well this whole series, had 16 boards this game, 10 assists, although he had 9 turnovers, so this is crazy. And he also had 5 offensive rebounds. So a lot of those offensive rebounds came from Joel Embiid. So, I mean, pretty decent game plan. But still, even with that game plan, we still had enough to win. We just didn't get it done, man. We just gotta get it done, and we gotta do better. And Brunson in particular, like Brunson, here's the thing too. The decision making. Like, I think one of the big decisions that were wrong were, and maybe it's fatigue or what, was when the game was on the line in the fourth quarter, Brunson is going to the hole. We have OG Anunoby wide open in the corner. He decides to give a pass to Josh Hart in traffic. Josh Hart can't do anything with that ball, you know? Also, the 76ers put two on Brunson for a lot of the night. I feel like we've had success when he was able to move the ball and he was able to trust his teammates after, focusing on them. But I guess he that last shot into from regulation, they had two on him. That might have been the time to move the ball. Now granted, Josh Hart to me is still like the odd man out in one of those situations, because it's like, man, they've been actually going back to leaving Josh Hart open. and it's kind of been working for them. But Josh Hart has to get it together. But at the same time, we have to move the ball in clutch moments as well. And not to say he can't pick his spots and do his thing, but especially on nights like tonight, when it's obviously you don't have your legs, you got to move the ball. And you can tell he didn't have his legs. So in overtime, he settled. He settled. He settled for open. He hit the first three. Then hit the driving layup. We were up by 5. And then after that, He was just settling for threes. It was like three or four straight possessions where he was trying to hit contested threes. And it was obviously his legs was gone, were gone. And we needed better shot quality than that in that type in that type in that that type of game. So I think the decision making from Brunson in general was way off, more way off than I've ever seen it. And that has to be fixed for sure.
Yeah, and speaking on Brunson's game tonight, I think although he had a good game, I mean 40 points, 15 of 32 shooting from the field, 4 of 11 from three, that's not a bad game. But a lot of what I saw in tonight's game was a lot of what I saw in game one and game two as well. Because I see to me it seemed like, because I think I forgot what podcast it was or what show it was, whatever the case may be, but they asked Stephon Marbury after watching the first two Knicks games, you know, when Brunson was struggling, and they asked Marbury like what can Brunson do different to get going, and Stephon Marbury basically said that, you know, when Brunson's attacking, he has to make quick decisive decisions, you know, like he can't, you know, dribble 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 and you know, and not make a and not make, you know, a decision when he has the ball in his hands. And I think he went back to that in this game. There was a lot of times where, you know, Knicks would bring a pick, whatever the case may be, and like he would attack, and then like instead of making a decisive move, whether it's to take a shot or pass the ball, he would just dribble, 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 bring the ball back out, and it was just a bunch of ISO ball. And he has to remember that in games three and games four, he was actually getting other guys involved more. He was actually making quicker decisions when he was attacking the basket, and he would either get to his spot and take the shot, or he would pass the ball out, and then the ball would move around to the guy who got the open shot. And I think he did less of that in this game, and I think that's what killed the Knicks offense as well in certain possessions.
Now, I agree because the change to me, like the Knicks started picking off Brunson's defender a lot higher, and once they picked the defender off, he would just start running downhill. So a lot of the offense for the last couple of games, he would get a running start into the paint and force the defense to make a decision quicker because he was just making decisions quicker himself. But to me, when he got the switch, and even when he got switches before, like he would attack the switch a lot faster. Today, I felt like he was trying to be a lot more deliberate, and it just gives teams time to key in on him. And I think what happened too is the last game, the game that we won in Philadelphia, he was attacking faster, but I feel like there's also moments where he was just so on fire. He was getting back to that slow style and it was working. And I feel like it kind of brought him into like a false sense of security, kind of a little bit in certain situations. Like we've had a higher success rate when you're making quick decisions, when you're bringing those picks high and you're just going downhill. We're having a less success rate when you're doing it the slower way, like you have today. I mean, you might have had some success doing it because you were hot that day, and maybe you was on one because you got hit in the mouth, you were fired up, da, 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 da. But now, like for to maximize your success, even though you can do that, we need to kind of attack faster.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And just to add one thing as well, I think even though this game ended badly for the Knicks, I do think the Knicks can take a positive away from this game. I think the positive being that if you look at the two games that the Sixers won, it took Herculean efforts. Like game three, Joel Embiid drops 50. This game, Maxey had to drop 46 to beat the Knicks. So I mean, you look at that, and you take it into perspective, and you're like, okay, the only way this team beats the Knicks is if one of their guys have a Herculean effort where they're just on fire, and there's little you can do to stop them. So I think if the Knicks can just, because game six, you know, going back to Philly, Philly has the momentum now, so and they're gonna be home. So you know that Philly is going, Philly's gonna, come into that game charged up, and the Knicks are gonna have to withstand a huge punch
Right.
from early in that game and try to, at least be in range where, they could try to keep it close and try to nip the game towards the end. But I think if the Knicks can just try to like at least try to slow down. Like if they can just find a way to slow down either Maxie and Embiid, just try to find a way to slow them down and just try to stay close in the game. And then Brunson has to get back to making quick decisions with the ball. When you have the ball in your hand, quick decision. You attack the basket. You either get to your spot, shoot the ball, or you either make the pass and just have the ball move around. I think the Knicks have to kind of go away from iso ball a bit
Yeah.
and move the ball around a lot and move the ball around a lot more. When fourth quarter comes and you know that you need your buckets, then you go to Brunson for those moments. But I think the Knicks have to bring more ball movement into game six, and they just have to try to key in on Maxi, because if they're going to continue to use Embiid as that decoy, they're going
Right.
to have to key in on Maxi more and force Embiid to have to be the one to score, knowing that he's hobbled and things of that nature. I think if the Knicks can do that, they'll come out of game six with a win.
Yeah, because Embiid is done. Embiid, it's really Maxi. It's really Maxi. Like at this point, it's Maxi. Embiid today, 7 of 19, 36% from the field, 1 of 4 from three. I mean, he's still a +14, because just because of his presence. But 16 rebounds, 9 turnovers. Like everything kind of has been running through Embiid, but the scoring threat is really Maxey. I feel like when it's come to defense one-on-one, we've done a really good job. Mitch has done a really good job. Mitch did a really good job of him today. Even got a nice block on him. But we just got to figure out Maxey. We just got to figure out Maxey. And kudos to Maxey. He's kind of figured out how to attack Josh Hart a little better. He's figured out how to even attack McBride a little better. Shoot, we might have to put in Precious for a minute to switch up the look on them or something. But yeah, and I want to talk about some other things, but we got Mike Uno on the Discord. If you want to talk some Knicks basketball, all you gotta do is go into the Discord link. Has Fritz hit the Discord link? Let's see. I know Fritz usually has a Discord link somewhere. I forgot to actually put it in the chat. I forgot to actually put it in the chat. Fritz, can you put the Discord link in the chat just in case anybody else wants to talk? In the meantime, I'm gonna plug Mikey in there. And if you like this show, hit that like and subscribe. But shout out to people who rock with the show, man. Parrish Duggar, shout out to you. He said, yeah. And Embiid had 10 assists. Yeah, that was crazy. Shout out to Parrish Duggar, picks for Timmy. Shout out to A-Train. Shout out to Isaiah Ramos, aka Gaming Channel. Shout out to N.U.R. Brown. Shout out to everybody else rocking with the show. If you like the show, hit that like and subscribe. We're here after every game talking Knicks basketball. Shout out to you too, Sandman, Shaquan, and B-Wheels. I see you, Sandman. Sandman's been here for good for wins and losses. I see you, Sandman. Appreciate you. All right. And Sandman, I'm pissed that Josh Hart missed the free throws. I am Sandman. All right. Also, shout out to New Eurekan. Shout out to Mr. Chill. Shout out to Coach Saya, man. I might have to make Coach Saya on mine because he's being here heavy. And he be giving us the crowns there. I'm gonna have to make him my shoe. Even Robert Parrish, I need to make my rods because Rod's been here for a minute. All right, but let's get to it. Let me bring Mad Mike Uno in here. Right, Mike, you are now live on the KOT show. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yo, what's good, fellas, man? What's good, what's
What's
good, what's
going on? What's
good?
going on?
All right, so I feel like I'm making a important addition here. I feel like it's very important. And the reason is I've been seeing the comments, I've been seeing the hate, and I feel like, yo, we don't wanna jinx us. We up. We up, we up. They won this game and we still up 3-2. Let's not say stupid Josh, stupid Mitch. Oh, the coach was stupid. I've been seeing that. And I feel like we need to fall back. We need to chill. We need to chill. Let's not, you know, you bring the negative energy is going to come right back. And I don't want that for us. We've been so good, so blessed. We got a Josh Hart that is like one of the shortest dudes in the NBA getting all these rebounds. We got a, you know, we got people talking about Jalen Brunson is not going to be what the Knicks need, but he is. We've been blessed. We lost Randall. And we still came with number two. Dude, we are blessed. It's not time to start hating. The fans need to fall back, chill. Please, fans, I'm talking to all of y'all. Like, honestly, deep down inside my heart, bro, we cannot bring negative energy, bro. Look, our guys, we had a bad game. We had it, yeah. We had it, yeah. Mitch Rob gave up the four-point play to Maxey. Okay. You know, Maxey hit that three from almost near half point line. Okay. He basically what he did to us was Reggie Miller in 2024. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a Reggie Miller type thing. He hero balled. He went Super Saiyan. Our guys did everything to win. But sometimes a Super Saiyan comes in and changes things.
I might even give him Super Saiyan, because at the end of the day, at the end of the day,
we gotta keep showing them love.
We
if we keep giving our guys love, they'll keep feeling it. They'll grow from it. But we cannot hate no more, bro. Hero ball sometimes happens. But I think another blessing is that we get another chance to go to Philly and have the New York Philadelphia crowd show them that New York is taking this. And maybe we wasn't supposed to win in New York, and we were supposed to win in Philly, just to throw it in their face a little more, so that all those Philly fans at the arena get to walk home with their heads down. You know what I'm saying? And maybe this is a blessing, but we can't hate our guys.
Nah, I mean,
and I felt like I needed to say that. But we good, though.
We are good. It's not the end of the world. We can still close out the series. There is some criticism around for sure. There's some criticism to go around. I'm not going to pretend like everything's peaches and gold. But we are still in a good position. We're up 3-2. They still have to beat us two more times to win the series. We have to win one. So I fully expect us to be locked in on Thursday and finish the job in Philly.
That's cool.
Yeah. But shout out to you, Michael, so, man. Thanks.
So what the hate, yo, I love you all, fans. I love you all too. No more hate, give the love. Our team needs the love, not the hate. I'm out. You guys have a good one.
All right, man, appreciate you, Mike. All right, and shout out to Lee Escobedo, who just joined the program. Man, what's going on, Lee?
Remember during the regular season when I said I'm not worried about these losses because it's a regular season?
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling this one. This is probably the toughest loss of my fandom was this one. Because I really, in my gut, thought we were going to win. I feel like my gut let me down. And this loss was really tough. Really tough. I was speeding home from my dad's place about 20 minutes away to make the podcast. And the whole time I was just like trying to calm myself down, because this was we had it. And
yeah.
Then we did it. And then we did it. And it was, I mean, it's like, in the overtime, I saw a nurse throw out a box in one, and I'm like, do we really not have anyone else who can make the opposing team's coach and teams feel stupid? An OG or a Dante or a Hart who can play mate off a dribble? Because Brunson, they were zeroing in. And it was difficult for our guys to make the right play. And there were some turnovers that, as brilliant as Jalen Brunson was, that turnover to Ihart, man, I can't get that out of my head.
That was a bad turnover. We talked about that before you even got on, Lee. I think a lot of it had to do with fatigue. Because I was telling Ryan G and people in watching, Brunson went to a pull-up three like three times in a row. He played 50 minutes at this game. I think he was out of gas and he was just looking to just end it. It's just, that's what I saw. You don't usually see Brunson just go to pull up threes three times in a row like that, unless he's like hot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So to me, it smelled of bailout to me. It smelled of, I don't have legs. I got to just see if I can end this now. And this is one of those moments when you're missing another playmaker. This isn't one of the moments like, I need a couple of plays off. I have the highest usage in the playoffs. And so my 48 minutes is a different than Max's 48 minutes. We can, you know, kind of play off of somebody else. And we just needed another playmaker in that moment. And I think, funny enough, the short time that Tibbs went to Dante, because, you know, he doesn't trust Tyler Burks anymore. So when Brunson went to the bench, he went to Dante. It got a little bit shaky. This is kind of when we miss Bogey a little bit, because we've been going through Bogey and McBride a little bit for playmaking. And now in the playoffs, we have to go back to Dante for the playmaking. So I don't know. I don't know if we've been asking a lot of McBride. Maybe you go to McBride for more playmaking at the fourth quarter. Maybe you go there. I don't know. He's been kind of out of worldly in general. But like, when you're looking at the stats and the efficiency, especially this game, McBride, 6 of 11, 54% from the field, made 4 assists. Didn't shoot well from 3, but he was steady. -1. So maybe that's where you go. I don't know.
When you say playmaking, do you mean like scoring the ball, like creating something off a dribble, or are you talking about getting others involved?
I'm talking about somebody who can initiate the offense besides Jalen Brunson.
Okay.
It's like, hey, I need a breather. I'm just going to chill in the corner for a while. You guys, you know, break down a defense, swing the ball. If there's a breakdown, I'll swing it to me and I'll hit this corner three, you know, like something like that. Not necessarily that Deuce has to score off the dribble or anything. If it's there, and he's been doing that, you know, he's been actually doing pretty well, reading the situation, beating people off the dribble, and either getting to that pull up at the mid range or going all the way to the hole. But I don't know. Maybe we have to lead into that. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Then we're saying the same thing. That's kind of what I got on when I first. I'm having difficulty putting my words together because I'm so gut punched from this brutal loss. But yes. When Nurse went in that box and won, it was a shrewd move because he was counting on no one else being able to create their own shot with the Philadelphia's defense tightening up in the overtime and fourth quarter. So it's tough. I don't like the hard pendulum swings from Tibbs is a great coach to Tibbs. I've seen some people in the chat already seen on Twitter that Tibbs choked the game away, or, you know, Tibbs can't get us past the first round. I highly disagree with that, or any severe criticism of Brunson or anyone else on his team. I think everyone really played their ass off, and Philly just outsmarted us. Nick Nurse, no matter how annoying he is or how much he complains about calls, is a very, very, very good coach. Maxey's a very, very, very good player, and so is Embiid. And they were the better team tonight, and we lost to the better team.
I think people get upset, but you have to look at the whole picture. Like, Knicks are up. Tibbs has outcoached Nick Nurse this series so far. He really has. And really, like, the evidence is in the wins and losses. The evidence is in the wins and losses. And, like, especially the last game, he, like, severely outcoached Nick Nurse the game before. So I think it's kind of premature to dump on Tibbs now, even though as harsh as this game was and as gut-punchy as it was to lose this game. Listen, Josh Hart hits 2 free throws, you're not having this conversation. you can say, you know what, we needed to find more minutes for somebody else to play minutes. Which, that can be a valid argument. Maybe you, what, you play Alec Burks, you roll dice Alec Burks, even though he sucked all year. I don't know. Because your choices are Alec Burks and Precious Achiuwa, right? Those are your choices when you're talking about who else can get minutes to give more people a breather. Those are your choices. Maybe you put in Precious Achiuwa for Josh Hart, but when it comes to subbing out Jalen Brunson, there's not really much to go to besides Dewis McBride and Dante with Bogey out. So once again, I go back to last year when people were blaming the coach for the loss to Miami. And I'm going, is this a coaching loss or is this a personnel loss? And I go back to that. Like, we don't have the horses. We don't have as many horses. You know, nobody here even trusts Alec Burks. No one trusts Alec. So the thing, well, it's like, you throwing Alec Burks? Okay, cool. That's a you're rolling the dice there too. End of the day, we have to do the things we set out to do. You cannot win games shooting 67% from the free throw line. And we got away with it before shooting 61%. We gotta hit free throws. We gotta hit free throws. We gotta not turn the ball over. That's what it is to me.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, like, you know, I understand, you know, when people get upset, you know, they have to find somebody to blame or whatever the case may be as to why they lost this game. And it's like, at the end of the day, as much as we want to blame the coach, you know, players are human. Players are going to make mistakes as well. Like, sometimes it's not even the coach, because the Knicks had a chance to win this game. Like, you know, Knicks, you know, like, Thibs never told Mitchell Robinson to foul Tyrese Maxey on the three-point attempt and give Maxey a four-point play. That's right. Not coaching. That's a player mistake. And then again, when Josh Hart's at the line, Thibs never told Josh Hart to miss a free throw when he was at the line. That's a player mistake. And then Maxey hitting the three-point shot. Like, come on. Maxey shooting the ball from damn near half court. Like, if a guy's going to take a three-point shot, it's like you want him taking it from all the way out there as opposed to a three-point shot that's in a reasonable range. So, again, it's like you have to take these things into perspective and be like, is it really coaching or is it the players making a mistake here and there? Then on top of that, like, and you know, people are acting like as if the Knicks are down right now. The Knicks are still up 3-2. Like JL has said, Thibs has gotten the best of Nick Nurse for the majority of this series. And this one game slips away because players made mistakes when they were on the court.
Yeah.
So all the Knicks have to do, if the Knicks get their act together for game six, make less mistakes and just, you know, just play with more focus. I mean, honestly, like the two games the Sixers won. Game three, Herculean effort from Joel Embiid, drops 50 points. Game five, Maxey drops 46. Like, it has to take Herculean efforts from either player for them to win the game. They're not going to do that every game. So all the Knicks have to do is play with less mistakes, make their free throws, play with the same intensity, and they're going to win in Philly.
Yeah, I agree. I think we have to remember the adjustments that were made. Like I said, just starting to pick and roll higher so Jalen Brunson could go downhill and start to score. Switching Josh Hart onto Maxey. Switching Dante onto Maxey. Tibbs has made enough adjustments to keep to win this game, to win this series. We gotta execute. The game plan then is execution. We gotta execute at this point.
Yeah. Parrish, I see you in the chat. Thanks for supporting, brother, but I have to disagree with you. You blame this on Tibbs saying that Precious should have been out there in overtime. My man's didn't play at all day. You don't put someone who's been cold on the bench into the game to just in a situational moment like that, where there's a tendency where he might be fouled and have to draw the line. And the guy hasn't had any momentum, any game time action. That's I don't understand that argument. And I think trying to find a scapegoat for this loss, other than it's a collective failure of miscues and turnovers, to me is a waste of time. And it's kind of cheap, in my opinion, to put this blame solely on Brunson or solely on Thibodeau. It was a collective loss of composure and a collective turnovers as well.
Yeah, and even like the Mitch thing, people say you should have taken out Mitch. It's really easy to say that now because Mitch was having a hell of a game. up until what? Up until like 28 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Like I think he stripped Embiid like twice in the fourth quarter. He blocked him in. He blocked Embiid's jump shot. He was playing really well. He was playing really well to the point where I think the only reason he was playing more minutes than Hartenstein at one point, but Hartenstein had to get once Maxey started hitting those threes. Tibbs went back to Hartenstein because he probably felt like he wouldn't he would be able to get back to the perimeter a little bit easier and not fall for the fake. So I think that's why he went back to Hartenstein. But Mitch played really well for most of the game, except for the last minute. If you're looking at plus minus stats, everybody's a negative except for two people. Mitch is one of those two people. And that's because he did a really good job guarding Embiid. Like, really good. Three steals. Three steals and two blocks. So, it's hard. It's easy to say that now, but when you turning that Embiid over in the fourth quarter in crunch time, I wouldn't take him out the game either, personally.
Very, very well said. Mitchell Robinson, I thought, was unbelievable tonight. You could tell that he was in some pain as well, but he gave it his all, diving on the floor for loose balls and set very good strains. I thought his strains tonight really shined over Isaiah Hartenstein. And Isaiah Hartenstein has had trouble staying out of foul trouble and being more foul prone, playing Embiid straight up. Mitchell Robinson has had a much better composure in terms of limiting fouls and keeping Embiid out of rhythm when they're guarding one-on-one, and has allowed for other guys to stay on their man on the perimeter too. So we didn't have any random bums tonight burning us from three like we have in previous games. It was Tyrese Maxey going to superhero mode and Super Saiyan mode in overtime. Yeah, man, I mean, this loss really, really hurts. I'm feeling like all the losses from this season rolled into one right now because I've cut myself off emotionally during the regular season when we would catch an L. And right now, the floodgates are open. It's really kicking my ass spiritually right now. So definitely don't need a token to smoke after this podcast. But that being said, I think the things that cause us to lose can be easily cleaned up. We have to make our free throws. And that starts from Brunson on down. There can't be any excuse. You know, Tom Thibodeau has you out there for a reason, because you didn't play both sides of the ball. Most importantly, if you're in there in crunch time, you have to be able to shoot your free throws and make your free throws.
Make your free throws. Yeah. That's really the mantra. And another thing too, Dante DiVincenzo, he's been struggling this whole series. Like, he's had that one big three to win the game for us, but he's been struggling this whole series. Part of the reason why I was even confident in this series winning is because I felt like we had the shooting to kind of give Brunson the space. And with Dante shooting bad and then Josh Hart kind of starting to shoot bad again, like, we're gonna need one of those wings to hit threes. We're going to need one of those wings to hit threes. Only one who's kind of been hitting threes lately maybe is OG. But, you know, he doesn't shoot it. He doesn't shoot them at the volume as the other guy, like the other guys do. Like, he's going to give you five. But that trick to your high volume three guy, we're going to need Dante to kind of get together. And I think that's a big reason why you're seeing Deuce taking over Dante's minutes. Because that Deuce has probably been... Not probably. Deuce has been our most reliable three-point shooter in this postseason so far, which is freaking amazing. So, yeah, man, we need more shooting from Dante and OG. Funny enough, I kind of liked OG's game today. The only thing is the one turnover to Mitch in the critical, that critical moment of the game. You've been hitting that little baby fall away mid range all game. Why throw it to Mitch while he's under the basket in a weird position? Just take that shot.
For sure.
Just take that shot. But besides that, 7 for 12, 58% from the field, 40% from three, six rebounds, a block, two steals. He had a couple of breakaway steals, too. I don't know. How did he end up with a negative 10? I have no idea. He has the lowest plus minus on the team right now. I don't even understand how.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't even understand how. This must be something I'm missing. Has anybody been lining him up? Like, the 76ers only have like three players. So it's like maybe Kelly Oubre. Was he guarding Kelly Oubre and Kelly Oubre was playing better than usual? I don't know.
Oubre only had 14 points, really. I mean, Tobias Harris had 19. He started on Tobias Harris.
Yeah, so maybe because the Tobias Harris actually had a decent night before.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. But I actually kind of liked OG's game today for the most part. All right. But also, you know what? Shout out to the chat. I know we got our guy Tell him on the Discord, so we're gonna bring him in. But shout out to the chat before I bring him in. Shout out to A Train, Craig Ward, Parrish Thugger, Marshall L, Picks for Timmy, Clavine Doris, 19 comment, NYC 84. Shout out to Mike Uno's in the chat as well. Shout out to my college friend Ruel Smith. What's going on, Ruel? Shout out to you. All right, Annabelle else is rocking with the KOT show. Alexander, I see you. Ivory 10, I see you. And Mind Playful Pup, I see you. If you like the show, hit that like and subscribe. And if you're new to the channel too, give me that new. Put new in the chat. And I'll shout you out. Shout out to Glamour Knicks too. I see you. Shout out to you guys. All right. It's time for some tell. Is Tell him ready? Is Tell him ready fit? I see him in the waiting room, but I don't see him in the next caller room, so I'm not sure if he's ready or not. He might still be getting ready. Let me know when he's ready. But yeah, I still feel like we have a chance. I still feel like we have the better team. Like at the end of the day, when I'm looking at our team and I'm looking at their team, the Knicks have more reliable role players to me. Which is why I think ultimately we'll win this series, even though they might have the two all-stars. I just still feel like we have the more reliable role players. Like they're playing Kyle Lowry all these big minutes and he had 0 points, you know, yeah. 0 points in 26 minutes. Like once he starts running out of tricks and the refs get like hip to all his flopping and stuff, he's kind of becomes useless.
Yeah, pretty much. And Marshall said that the Bucks are up by 10. If the Bucks could extend that series,
please, Bucks, extend that series.
Please.
we need some rest. We need it. Woo.
For real.
yo, shout out to Ebony, man. Ebony's betting. We all said our piece, Ebony, so I don't know if you're ready to talk. We got Tell him Alejandro ready. To speak, do you want to speak now? Or you want to let Tell him Alejandro speak? While you get your thoughts together?
You could let him speak.
Let him speak. All right, cool. All right, cool. Tell him Alejandro, I'm about to bring you live. Yo, tell him you are now live in the KLT show. What's going on, my bro?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. We live.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing tonight, Jay Ellis? Mm-hmm. What's going on tonight? My truth telling Lee, mm-hmm. my man with the stats and the facts, Ryan G, mm-hmm. and my girl Ebony. Mm-hmm. Shout out to everybody enjoying the KOT show tonight. Yes. So boom, it's a pleasure to hear from y'all. The last time we spoke, we was talking about Discount Ben Leon and how he needed the wheel and deal. Since then, we traded for OG. We got a few pickups here and there as far as like developing Precious, developing the dudes, getting loose, and boom, now we cook it. It's nice to be in this position where we upset because we feel like we should have won a playoff game. But not too long ago, things were a little bit different. But I'm going to tell you what doesn't feel good, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that we got to live through this crap. Josh Hart, 1 out of 2 free throws in the last minute of the fourth quarter. What is that? OG Anunoby, 1 out of 2 free throws in the last minute of the fourth quarter. What is that? Jalen Brunson, right before hitting the game-time three-pointer. The technical foul free throws, missing 1 out of 2. What is that? The last game, game four, in the final minute, Josh Hart, 2 free throws, 0 for 2. What the heck is that? So the first thing we got to do, Knicks fan, we got to stop beating ourselves. You feel me? Cut the turnovers. Make your free throws. Emphasis on those freaking free throws. I want to see them players in the gym just doing free throws, not running around. For the first time, Tibbs is just switching it up, not even putting pressure on them to wear their body down. You feel me? We got to pay attention to those details. That's number one. Number two, y'all already pointed this out. The offensive overtime, iso ball, the lack of ball movement, that's not lit, Brunson. You better than that. You're not just the best point guard in this conference. Now you're better than Curry. You're the best point guard in the league, and you got to lead the team in the end, even if we're fatigued and tired, even if we don't have that second scoring Randy. You got to make sure you keep them guys involved, because look at the other team. How did they win tonight? What was their best player doing? He wasn't involved offensively as far as scoring is concerned. He was letting his Robin rock, was he not? But he was definitely involved in the play. He was getting the ball first and setting people up to execute. So Brunson needs to take a step back. I believe Ryan G said it. Similar to games 3 and 4, Brunson did a better job of getting his teammates involved. In overtime, tonight, he failed us. But I do like that we're experiencing what we're experiencing in the first round. Why? I'm going to tell you why. I don't want to have to deal with one of these tough losses later on in the playoffs. Look at a team like the Boston Celtics. In my opinion, mentally, they're frail. They're not prepared. We, since day one, since preseason, have been having a fight with playoff intensity because of who our coach is. He instilled that in us. So for us to deal with this loss where, I believe A-Train said it in the chat, we literally choked this one away. Yeah. We had this game. We lost the game. Nothing that Philly did. We lost this game. It's upsetting. But we're going to go in the room, watch the film, see what we did wrong, and we're going to get better from this. That's the beauty of this whole situation, is we not down 3-2. We up 3-2. Exactly. So we're going to hit in game six. We're going to hide. And then we're going to roll that Massachusetts pack in the finals and have a day with the Joker, because we're going to wax him too. Same way I was in the season by almost 40. You feel me? Gave him that little 40-37 piece. So we're going to wax him too, but one game at a time, one day at a time. First things first, free throws. Free throws, free throws, free throws. All right, KLT Show, thanks for letting me call. Hopefully, you don't got to hear from me again, because that means we winning. You feel me?
All right. Shout out to our motivational speaker, the KLT Show. Tell him. Always love when Tell him comes in. Low key, I've been trying to put Tell him on KOT. Tell him already know what's up, though. All right, let's get to it, though. Let's get to it. Shout out to Ebony. Shout out to Ebony. You've been joining us late. I know it's been hard to get on here after this loss. We've all kind of said our piece and broke down the game. What's your perspective on the game?
This one's a tough one. It definitely was a tough one. I was stuck for a minute, just not able to move. And then when I was just like, dang, like we were so close. And we, that second quarter was a thing of beauty. Showed us on both ends of the court. We dominated them. I was excited to see us come back with that same energy, and it was real up and down. Defense was tough. You know, we had people timely. Josh Hart was doing his thing. You know, he missed free throws.
Guy hit the free throws.
He missed his free throws, but he was doing his thing. He had hit in that third quarter. And then you had OG playing, being aggressive. And there was a lot of cutting and ball movement and screens, and then it kind of stopped. And we missed our free throws. Everybody missed our free throws. And we had some questionable shot selections. It was one point when we was on that transition. And again, nobody's bashing Jalen Brunson. We know what he means to the team. But again, we can't blindly follow somebody. So if you see something you think that can be improved on, you're going to mention it.
Right.
That's it. So Jalen Brunson, it was a point in transition where I felt like he should have pulled up And he forced it into Embiid, of all people, to Josh Hart, to make him go up against him.
Yeah, I
They didn't
mentioned that
get the call.
earlier.
Yeah, they didn't get the call. And it led to like a transition bucket, I believe.
I was
It was
saying
a
he had
lot of
OG open in the corner. He had OG open
yeah.
in the corner, and he gave it to Josh Hart in traffic, and I didn't understand that decision at all.
Yeah. It was a lot. Like the offense really got stagnant. Even the beginning of the overtime, we started off still with a little bit movement. It ended up a Brunson bucket. He had like five consecutive points or so in the beginning of the overtime, and it was because of pick and rolls. And then I guess that kind of set the tone. Like he thought, but I think he iced out his Robins. Like
I agree.
he iced out the others, because OG was helping him out throughout the game. So was Josh Hart. Like, so was Deuce. You know, Deuce, Shaq didn't know who Deuce was before. I bet he know who he is now.
Yeah. Fourth leading scorer of the team in this series.
Yeah, and as of my guy Mitch, who was having damn near a perfect game until that foolish foul. It's always cool to look back and say what the coach shouldn't have did before, but he was in the game because of his play throughout the
You pretty much said exactly what I said. You're saying
game.
everything you're saying right now is pretty much everything I said.
Yeah, because I see some spinning the block, but you can't spin the block for somebody who's giving crucial steals that lead into OG
Yeah.
dunks to further our lead. You get what I'm saying? Who
No, I
set the
agree. And
picks? Who set the picks that got Brunson them open threes in the overtime?
that's what he
Like, we
said, yeah.
watch what we want to see when we don't like a player. And you notice that not one time did I mention that other center, because it's never them versus, it's never a competition for me, but for them. They are one in my eyes. You get what I'm saying? Like a perfect center rotation. And like I said, Mitch was in there because he was playing Embiid better.
Yeah.
So again, it's cool to say, yeah, well, what Tibbs shouldn't have did before. But again, this is a he's playing people now who are impacting the game the most, that game.
I agree.
Again, everybody doesn't watch the game the same, and that's okay.
I know we're talking about X and O's and like the game. Just to be a little like forthcoming here, this loss really hit me hard, for sure. I'm sure we can all say that.
Oh, yeah.
I had limited experience with Knicks playoff games, and I really thought we were gonna win this one. I just want to say I'm very grateful, and I think I'm grateful for the chat, even though it's who spinning the block on Tibbs, even though it's who was saying some really ass crap takes. I'm just very thankful that I live in this day and age of technology that we can hop on this podcast and talk with one another and air out our grievances and like vibe with one another, even after an L. I know it's all fun and games after a W, but after an L, I'm just so grateful that we had this community, KOT community of the fans, of the panel, of Jay running everything. Like and Fritz, I'm just very grateful I can be here right now because I already feel better than I did in the car by myself when I was driving home with me. I'm not gonna lie, bro. I was in a
Yeah,
dark place driving home.
man.
So
Nah,
I'm
I feel
glad that's
better
the L
now.
now.
Thank you. Thank you,
Yeah,
guys.
it's definitely cool. Yeah.
Therapy. Dead serious,
Therapy,
because I do feel
for
better. I
sure.
feel
You
better.
couldn't be a
Like,
trophy. During that game was a lot of curse and a lot of table
oh
slapping on
man. Oh
that.
man.
Look, I don't know if you guys can see it, but I feel better. I think I can show y'all my shirt now.
That's
You see
funny.
who that is?
Yo,
Oh man, damn.
that's crazy.
It's a member since 2014.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah, we got the man. We took we you take out. You gotta take that L, man. We gotta take that L and bounce back. The thing about these games too, they're coming at you faster now. Coming at you faster. I think that's my theory of why Josh Hart is starting to miss now. He was practicing a lot to get into rhythm for the playoffs. Now, it's not practice time. It's just
He's just go
you
time.
playing 50 minutes. You ain't practicing now. You resting
And
that game before.
it's not a soft 50 minutes. It's physical banging, going after the
Right.
boards constantly, nonstop, going full speed, because that's your game to get to the bucket. It's not an easy 45 minutes at all, not even by a little bit. So it can take a lot on your legs. You have to I have to commend these guys for the kind of the shape they're in, because to be able to have to guard sometimes the best player, because he gets to switch on the best players also, and then still have to get the rebounds over the likes of Batum and
Yeah,
his dark arts.
exactly. And listen, we didn't really foul Embiid. The rest wasn't giving him any dumb stuff either. Like
I know.
I really don't like it's, except for the Mitch foul, because I still believe that Mitch was standing, like straight up. He didn't leave his feet, and then Maxey jumped into him. Like besides that foul, I kind of feel like it was a good ref game to me. I'm not
And
like.
even the shot that Maxey took, that wasn't a good shot. It wasn't a close three. It was damn near by the logo. He made it. He made it. So it was a good shot. I as a shooter, I know those moments. I used to drive my coach crazy. You get the what? Good shot. Good shot. So it happens. I'm disappointed. Yeah, we one of the keys before the series started for me was we couldn't beat ourselves. That was one of my keys to winning this series. When we get to the line, we have to make it. You know, when we can't turn the ball over.
I
You
agree.
know, we can't play hero ball. We can't afford to do that.
Agree.
So,
I agree.
again, it just feels weird because we're so used to Brunson always making the right decisions in these moments, but he is human. He
Yeah.
is human, and he's allowed and like Alejandro just said, I'm glad that he got it out now. This is film for him to watch because he's that type of player that they adjust. Like I've seen the adjustments, even though we lost. The fact again that what got us in the lead or you know back and forth in overtime was they made Embiid move. They made Embiid make decisions. They punished him for dropping down too low. That's how Brunson got that wide open 3-point.
Yeah, exactly. But he kept going to
So
it. He kept going
yeah.
to it because now, because
And
Embiid is now, and he's coming up. You can't go to the step. You can't go to the 3-pointer now. You gotta switch it up.
yeah, definitely. But the one thing that we did that was the reason we came back into the game in the first place and the reason we started making runs is because the ball wasn't sticking. That's when we looked the best this whole game, is when the ball did not stick.
Yeah.
When we made our run, when we increased leagues, when we tied games, it all was when the ball was moving, when everybody had a piece, when Deuce hit with a big three. Dante has not been consistent, but one thing I can say is he's been timely.
Yeah.
Like, when we need one, when we really desperation, really, he's hit that three or you know a block or something of that nature.
I agree.
So we have to have that in order for us to advance.
And you know what also, Sue? The Precious thing. I know people talking about bringing Precious in for Mitch. I don't think that was the move. I feel like the move might be to bring Precious in for Hart for at least like 7 minutes, 8 minutes minimum, just to give him kind of a breather. And I think Precious is one of those people, Josh Hart's guarding Maxey. I feel like Precious is one of those people who you can put on Maxey too. He has the agility and the length to kind of to guard him. So I would, if I'm Tibbs, I would think about resting Josh Hart for giving him a breather, giving him a little bit more of a breather, and give Precious some minutes because he's done a good job in a pinch, and think he can be useful. I'll say that.
Yeah,
All right.
we definitely just have to remember we can't. I know when somebody is cooking, but sometimes that's by design too. Sometimes they rather just let one person try to beat them. Again, that's a smart strategy. Why not? I tell it all the time for the Knicks to do it because it's smart. You ice out everybody, and you see once they do it, it comes stagnant. It's hard to get it back going. Remember, I always go back to Charles Barkley because it's the truth. He said, "Well, you know, a broken clock is right 2 times." You know. at least two times. So Charles Barkley had, I agree with him. He has said you can't just keep started when you want to. It keep off on and off. So when you start going one on one constantly, it's hard to get back that rhythm of the ball cut and the movement sometimes, or just your shot in general. So we can't afford for anybody on our team to just, constantly do that. And that's no slight to Jalen Brunson, because again, we're so used to, it feels weird because we're so used to him making the right decisions in these moments. So again, playing is the best teacher.
Yeah, he's, I already know Brunson is not going to sleep tonight. Brunson is not going to sleep tonight. I saw him, on the sideline damn near throwing the chair.
Yeah, and I think the one thing we could take solace in is that this team always bounces back from tough losses. Like, that's the type of mentality they have, and that's the type of intensity that they play with. Like, this team is never down. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at Brunson's demeanor, who's the leader of this team, like Brunson never appears down. You know what I mean? Like, his body language never, like, he never sulks or anything of that nature. And this team is just used to bouncing back. So yeah, the Knicks lost tonight, but I expect a much better effort in game six. And I expect the Knicks to take it to the Sixers and win
Yes.
game six in Philly in advance.
Man. It's time to wrap this up, B. We got stuff
Facts.
to do.
Yeah, and we can't take we don't know about the guy on my shirt against us and his dark arts. I'm sorry, not dirty. His coat,
Yeah,
right?
no.
Dark arts.
We need to wrap that up. We need Mitch to get some rest. We need all these guys to get some rest. Brunson to get some rest. We need to wrap this up. Hopefully the
Facts.
Bucks beat the Pacers to prolong that series, and so both of us can be a little bit fatigued. Because I still believe the Pacers and the Knicks are going to be meeting in the second round.
At the moment, it's looking good. Bucks up by 15.
There you go. Let's go. Let's
Let's
go.
go. They're looking good so far.
Did y'all see the tweet about a letter? I don't know if it was a tweet. Somebody had to one of the, another Knick content creator that they were a Buck fan asking the Knicks to please destroy the Pacers when we play them, because I would become a Knicks fan for life if y'all do this.
I mean, listen, the
He said,
Pacers
because
are
the
one of
Pacers
those
fan base has been
annoying
bad.
teams, because Halliburton is just,
He
he's
said
not
the Pacers
likable.
have been very arrogant.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way they are. They're kind of just arrogant. So I understand why he's asking for help. We got you, brother. We got you. All right.
And the
Just
fact that
arguing.
Halliburton is from there, they don't understand. They don't understand, like, you playing your hometown team. A lot of disrespect.
Yeah, that is true. He is from Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Good show, guys. Y'all want to do bruh picks today?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't even know if I have a brother, to be real about it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't.
I have one or two.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. It's time for that part of the show. Bruh.
The first bro pick I have will be Shaq.
Oh
Will
my
be Shaq.
God. Yes. Bruh. Yes.
You oh yeah, and of course, I'm sorry, before we get to that, Paul Pierce,
Paul Pierce.
Gilbert,
Bruh. Gilbert
and
Arenas.
shouts out to Holly Rowe too.
Bruh. All of those. Mandatory bruhs. Every time we do the bruh picks, for people who are new, if you don't know what bruh picks are, they're usually the worst plays of the game, or they could be worst play of any game, or this could be something stupid or something dumb, idiotic that you're gonna point out and say it's stupid, dumb, or idiotic. And usually Paul Pierce is saying something stupid or dumb, so we just shout him out every day.
Bruh. Yes, definitely. So that's the Shaq. Back to Shaq, because that's my first one.
Yes, for
This
sure.
guy, I don't know who Deuce McBride is. McBride, I've never heard of him. Is that what he said? Well, I can't get the exact quote.
This is
Something
why Perk.
along those lines.
This is why Perk said you don't watch games.
Exactly. Like, you get paid a lot of money to analyze this game. Like, they pay you to know what you're talking about of the game. And you get on your job and you show that you just, there's an arrogance that you don't care sometimes. Like, come on. Like, I like Shaq. Like, that's one of the bigs that dominate to me. I thought he should have got the MVP, one of them Steve Nash years. You get what I'm saying? But come on. Like, can we stop with the regular peoples and the, what the heck? You a regular people. You just played basketball and made a lot of money up from it and then invested that money. Come on, let's not do this.
You see, the thing with Shaq is that Shaq likes to just disrespect players. Like, I don't think it's the fact that he doesn't know who Deuce McBride is. I think he just said it, and I think he's saying it in the sense of like, Deuce McBride's a nobody. Like, why is the Sixers making him go off in the game more so as opposed to like him not really knowing who McBride is? Like, Shaq loves to throw shade on players. Like, that's what he does. He just loves to throw shade on players that are not quote unquote superstars or, whatever the case may be.
The craziest part is that, like, if you really watch these games or watch the Knicks and anything, Deuce McBride is the type of player he would like. Like, Jalen Brunson is the type of player that he would like. Like, he talks crap about Steph, and he talks about that all the time, how he talked crap about Steph, and he proved him wrong every time. That's the type of player Jalen Brunson is. So, like, if you really watch this game, his attitude towards us wouldn't be like that, really. Because
Yeah.
those are the type of players that he really likes.
And this is why channels like this exist. Because you can't rely on the ESPNs to really give you the coverage. You got to come here. You got to go to your local stuff. And Alan Hahn and Monica, and they do a good job too. Don't take anything away from those guys. But
Yeah, they do.
we're here a lot. We're here a lot.
Paying attention in every detail.
Exactly.
Two.
And the second one is stands or people who have a gripe against players. Everybody has a player that they don't like. Like, I don't like Jamal Murray, and it might be more feelings towards that, but I just can't. I don't like him. Like, I don't like him, and I can understand that he's a good player, and I can tell you I don't like him.
Interesting.
So that's just me, and I don't get it, but it is. But let's go back from way back, way back. So that's it. But when you look at the game and you can't stand a player so much, sometimes it blinds you to the game, person's game in whole, because you're only focused and you're trying to focus on his net on the person's negative. When they do good, you kind of look over it because you're like, "All right, that he lucky." That every once in a while, that's what you think in your head. Sometimes you could think in your head sometimes, and it may look diminish what they're doing. Like, you can't do that. So the people like trying to spin. You can't even spin a block because he had a damn near almost perfect game until the foul. Like, so his whole game is crap because of that. Like, that's crazy, and yeah, that's nutty. That's nothing. Absolutely nothing. But in offseason, yeah, Devin Booker, offseason trades. We
I ain't
ain't thinking about no
talking
Devin
about
Booker.
Devin Booker.
We ain't trying to think about no Devin Booker. You got to have a certain amount of dog in you to be a Knick.
He ain't got that dog in him.
But yeah, I think that was it. I had somebody else, but of course my memory shot and I forgot who it was. So I guess that's it.
That's it.
That's
All
it.
right. All right. Those are good ones. All right, cool. Oh, we got picks for Timmy. Timmy's in the Discord. I guess he wants to close out for us and then head on out. Get head on out. So,
Somebody said LeBron James being dunked on by Jamal Murray.
oh, that was a
Who
bro LeBron getting dunked on by by Jamal.
that? Yeah, Alexander.
Oh man, that's a good one, Alexander. All right, all right. All right, picks with Timmy. About to bring you in. All right, so get ready. Get ready, my guy. Get ready. Okay, picks for Timmy. You are now live on the KOT show. Picks for Timmy. You are now live on the KOT show. What's going on, picks?
What's good? What's good, man? Jay Ellis, man. Ryan G. Stats and the Facts. Lee Escobedo, Rookie of the Year. Ebony, man. What's good, y'all, man? Man. All right, so let's get right into it. We got to the third quarter of this game, and I was telling myself, we're going to the ECF, possibly going to be facing a team like Boston, possibly even going to the finals and facing a team like the Nuggets. If we're in that situation, is this the type of execution that we want to carry over into the next series?
No.
I told myself that in the third quarter, because my playoff journey as a Knicks fan, my very first memory is watching the Knicks get smacked against the Rockets in the finals. So my progression of watching this team has not just been watching this team just to craft a win or a loss. It's been watching this team to look at the identity of what's being put on the floor on a day-to-day basis, right? And for fans that get really upset about what goes on a game-to-game basis, like, I challenge you, yo, like, really take the time out to look at the identity of the players, what's being put on the floor defensively and offensively, what that game plan, the switches that's happening to them and how they're responding to it. It's like watching a game of chess on the basketball floor. But when it comes to X's and O's at this point, I don't think there's really too many more adjustments that this team needs to make. We had an opportunity for shadow work. So when we're going in to watch this video from this game, the Knicks are going to see one of the worst versions of themselves that they've seen throughout probably like the past like 16 games. Like, there was just no execution down the stretch to be able to close out the game. And I've seen Jalen Brunson respond time and time again. I expect him to clean this up like it's going to be nothing, you know. This will just be another part of the legend of Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks this year, man. One of the things that even coming into this playoff series is the fact that this group of our starting five, even if you want to, you know, add Mitch into that mix as well, they really haven't been together all that long. So we're still learning on the fly. Everything that happens to us, even as playoff experience, is an opportunity for us to really be able to grow. And the taste, like the taste of this particular loss, like, I think that's something that's really going to carry over significantly if we end up playing the Pacers in the next round, if we end up playing the Bucks or whoever. We'll be able to find out our identity and what we need to be able to do to close out games. As far as playmaking is concerned, I think even with the team that we have, even with Bogey out, throughout the season, we've seen playmakers arrive in Josh Hart and Isaiah Hartenstein. Deuce has done some playmaking, as Devo as well. Guys will step up. And a part of that identity that we have is that next man up mentality. So when we go into Philly, man, I'm expecting the Knicks to put their best foot forward. And let's go ahead and close this thing out, man. Let's go, man. Stand up, New York. That's all I got, you.
Later.
All right. 5-star call.
Shout out to my guy, Picks, man.
Facts on facts.
We got great people watching. We got great people watching, man.
Facts, facts.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, man. Nothing more to say.
I have just something to say. The Picks for Tim, definitely. I agree. I don't think we need to do any changes. I just think we need to stop going away from what's working.
Yeah,
I agree.
If we can do that, and on top of not beating ourselves, I think, you know, again, sky's the limit for this team if they can do that consistently.
Move the ball, hit free throws.
Hit free throws. Yes,
exactly. And I got one more thing to say, because I'm reading the comments and I'm reading the comments in the chat. Everyone, calm down. Be easy. The Knicks are up 3-2. The Knicks are not down. The Knicks got this, all right? They have another chance to close it out. And to be honest about it, this team plays better on the road than at home, to be honest about it.
Yeah.
So just be easy. Calm down. Knicks got this, all right? Let's go. Let's go.
Exactly. And like mentioned, they still gelling and still growing their game themselves, because Iheart showed a little bit something else in his bag with the mid-range jumper today.
Man, listen, so, you might have to work on his pick and pop next season.
Yep. Yeah, that mid-range jump shot didn't look bad at all.
You might have to look. You might have to work on a pick and pop, Nick. You might have to be some Kurt Thomas type of situation next season.
Oh, my favorite crazy eyes.
and crazy eyes. You can't. The original crazy eyes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Woo, you used to kill people with the pick and pop from the mid range with Kurt.
That mid range jumper was water all the time. Yeah. Every time it was going in.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, and it's crazy because I'm still sick that we lost this game because. Our defense was defensing, you know.
Yeah, we had them on 100 points.
The rotations was on point this game so much to help. Dante got help blocks. OG, it was blocked. And we're not, during the season, we were almost last in blocks. And then during this playoff series, though, it's like block party style. Mm-hmm. So it's again, we just can't beat ourselves. And we have a team that makes adjustments, as you see. We do make adjustments now. So I know that the outing will be better.
I agree. Yeah. Let's just get this win, man. Let's just get this win.
Yeah, look how they played. Look how they played in B, y'all. They made sure to keep their hands out.
Exactly.
They made sure their hands is out. Mitch took a lot of beating by just doing this because Embiid coming full force at his chest.
He got elbowed in the face twice.
In the face.
And they only called it once, but they have to go to the tape for a challenge for them to call that.
Multiple times. So yeah, we're making adjustments and our team is dogs and they don't like to lose.
Yeah.
So I see better maybe. You know, play more, see more pressures, get some more minutes for Josh Hart out. And instead of so many Josh Hart minutes, maybe try pressures for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I agree. Mark, game six is Thursday.
Yeah.
Game six is Thursday. All right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and drop a new pick. I got a new pick for my main man, Mitchell Robinson. My guy obviously isn't 100%. But the amount of growth that he has shown as our longest tenure Knick, I remember the first two seasons, how foul prone he was, how goofy and clumsy he was, butterfingers under the post, and he looked confused and out of place a lot of times too. You can tell that he's really dedicated himself, not just as a professional, but as a human being. There's something to him that he really, almost more than anyone, puts his whole heart and body out in the line when he's on the court. And I think he embodies what the New York Knicks mentality is almost more than any other player. And I really want to give her flowers to Mitch, who has went up into my top five favorite players on the team. And he's guarding right now. Maybe the best scoring big man since Shaq. Embiid is an impossible cover, extremely skilled, five-level score, high IQ, and also has a dog mentality and plays hurt. He's got a lot of heart, and Mitch is out there giving everything he has on one leg. So I just want to give some props to Mitchell Robinson. I know I've been going team iHeart, you know, on this channel, but right now Mitchell Robinson's been one of the two MVPs for this team. And it's been awesome watching him hold down the fort mano a mano with the current MVP of the NBA.
Yeah. Having Mitch there, man, having him, I mean, we still been doubling, but you don't have to double every single time. That's the benefit of having Mitch here.
I've noticed most of the doubles happen also when it was either like a Precious or like a mismatch or iHeart, like when they didn't want to leave him on the island type vibes.
Gotcha. Shout out to Mitch for sure. All right, cool. That's the show. Thank you guys for watching. If you like the show, hit that like and subscribe. We'll be here after every game. And next game will be Thursday. We'll be talking Knicks versus 76ers live here at the Nick of Time show. Also, super chats and those things are welcome as well. If you want to support the channel, super chats are welcome. Also, I think Cash App and all that stuff is in the description as well. And if you can't support that way, you can always just hit that like button. And share it and let people know what's going on over here at the KLT show. All right. All any type of support is great support. All right, cool. All right. So, Ebony, let them know where they can find you, Ebony.
You can find me here after every post game. You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at MadNickFan. And on in Liberty season, I run a post game for I do Bowling with the Queens, the Liberty post games, and space, and every pregame, You'll Take Knicks, another Twitter space.
All right. So, that's what's up. That's what's up. Lee, let them know if you can find you, sir.
At Twitter, at underscore Lee Escobedo, LeeEscobedo. Been trying to be on my best behavior for the playoffs. Trying to start any more fights. Not to fight with any more Knit fans. Been trying to have positivity in my mind and in my heart. And I also want to say, hey, AP, Parrish Dutter, and MBIC, y'all should be friends. I hope y'all, I hope y'all get each other's Twitter handle after the show. Because I think you guys would agree on a lot and would become fast friends on the internet because you're all hating on Tibbs right now and have hate on Tibbs for a while. Hey, man, listen, nothing wrong with that. Have your opinions. But it's misery loves company. So you guys should share each other's ets and handles in the chat so you guys can follow each other on Twitter. Be kind sign. I like that. Also, want to shout myself out. I have probably the piece I'm the most proud of coming out later this week for The Guardian, which is a publication I worked my whole life to write for, and they have asked me to write a piece on Jalen Brunson and how he has turned the Knicks around. So I spent last week thinking about it, and then the last 3 days writing it in portions, and I finished it today and sent it off to my editor. So I can't wait to share that with the rest of the team.
All right. Congratulations, Lee!
Thank you.
Congrats! I can't wait to read it
for sure. This is up. All right, Ryan G, let him know what can find you, sir.
Y'all can find me on Twitter at Ryan G K O T. You can also find me on Instagram at Sir G is Chillin.
Sir G is Chillin.
That's S-I-R-G is C-H-I-L-L-I-N. And just to harp on what Lee was talking about in the chat, like, yo, it's really crazy to me right now. Cause it's like, the Knicks lose one tough game. They made some mistakes towards the end of the game and they blew the game. But it's like, yo, if this is how y'all are, I wouldn't want y'all on my team. Like, yo, if I was a player, I wouldn't want y'all on my team. Cause y'all the type of players that we lose a game and then you trying to find everyone else to blame but yourself. I wouldn't want you on my team. Like, yo, y'all, it's one loss and the Knicks still have the advantage. Y'all acting like as if they're gonna blow the damn series. The team has shown throughout the series that they got this. Like, it happens sometimes. They lose sometimes. It happens. But the Knicks have the advantage in the series. They got this, man. Y'all just ready to turn on every player, every coach just because they lose one damn game.
It's okay, guys. It's okay. We'll be fine.
We're going to be all
right. Right? Shout out to Kendrick and Dip Drake, man.
Shout out Mike Uno.
Shout out Mike Uno, too. Even though half that disc, I could have. You could have started
my goof. I did my shirt though. I don't know if y'all seen the whole thing, but
yeah, the Goof True shirt. All right, you can find us at the KLT Show on Twitter, the Nick of Time Show on Instagram, and the Nick of Time Show on Facebook as well. All right, cool. That is the show. Thank you guys for watching. And as always, shout out the World Wide West. Everywhere we go, we leave a worldwide mess. It's a mess out here in these Knicks YouTube streets. That's the show. We out of here.
Peace. Go get some damn rest. New York,
City of dreams. Oh, man.